Welcome to True Story, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. I'm your host, Nicole Jennifer Edelman. Hello, dear listeners out there in True Story podcast land. Today we have Alina Gorlova. And Alina, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Kyiv, from Ukraine.
Hi, Alina. Is it okay if I tell you that I love Eurovision and I love the Ukraine and everything that they bring to Eurovision? Do you?
Great. Thank you.
It's really an honor to speak with you today. I recently watched No Obvious Signs. I'm waiting to hopefully see This Rain Will Never Stop, your most recent film. And I just really want to talk to you about many things. But since I have limited time, we'll focus on your history a little bit and where you are going. And then specifically some questions about empathy, trauma, and your very beautiful and poetic filmic eye. So, with that being said, talk our listeners through how you became involved with filmmaking and using it as your primary medium.
I had a really big passion in photography when I was a teenager. I was trying to do it during my school time. And lately, I've understood that I really love cinema and I would like to try. But, you know, like I was 16 when I decided to go to film school. That's why I don't think that I had like a really important thoughts about this. I have only desire. So it's like a passion. And I should say that it was a fiction course. It wasn't a documentary course. That's why, like, when I was studying, when I was learning acting, directing fiction films, I was looking at documentary course, and I thought that it's very interesting. Lately, after my graduation, I tried to film my first short documentary. And it was really big. It's how my passion started.
What was it? What was it about documentary film that grabbed you in a new way?
Oh, it was about Toscana. It was about like a little town in Toscana. So it was, you know, I just felt this reality and how I could work with it. During my career as a fiction filmmaker, I was looking for a freedom because honestly, I don't like very much big sets. I really like this intimate filming. That's why I found out that it could be in different ways.
I understand. And that can be also super small crews, just a sound person and you and your subject. Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely. And then the revolution has started in Ukraine and it was a big, big boom of documentary filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really important. And I think that we have to explore it a little bit in anthropological way. Why people decided to film documentary, why people decided to watch.
And give me and our listeners some sense of that for you. Why? Why do you think we make it, need to make it? And why do you think we watch?
So I think that we are filming documentary because we want to explore the world. Mm. Things. And I think that why we watch because we also could get something about this world, something new. We could understand this world better. That's why documentary.
It's wonderful. Allow me to talk then specifically about No Obvious Signs. I'll just be personal for a moment. It really affected me deeply. It was very beautiful to watch. I just am grateful for Oksana, who shared herself so vividly, and also your very lovely, I would say poetic, filmic eye. It was very symbolic, and it brings up a bunch of questions for me. Number one, talk to us about your process of making No Obvious Signs. How did you get connected with Oksana?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, first of all, for your comments.
Oh, you're welcome.
Compliments.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So I should say firstly that it's very important work for me and my crew, because yes, it was really, really hard because it's trauma, and I didn't know anything about post-traumatic stress disorder before. I was invited to this project. It was like a almanac, and I had to film two short films for this. And it was a story about women at war. So it was quite social and political a little bit. And I found out this character, Oksana, the protagonist, Oksana Yakubova. And it was a surprise because I thought that she was at the front line. But she didn't. I had a meeting with Oksana. And we were talking about 3 hours, and it was absolutely awful because she told me about like a lot of memories, a lot of events during the war. And I've understood that she has trauma, really, like I understood it very well. And at that time, I had a little experience in documentary theater. Yeah. And I've understood that probably we could film Oksana and her rehabilitation way, and probably it could help her. And I said, Oksana, during this first meeting, Oksana, I want to film your rehabilitation. And I think that it could help you. Do you want our crew to film this process? And she said, yes.
Месяца вот того, что я сижу, реально это просто ад. 2 месяца ада – это реального ада. Я перестала бояться. Мерить.
The bravery is just immense. I'm sitting here, I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
The whole topic of women in war is so large. I have a question regarding what made you think that she was her response or her trauma so profound that is why you thought she was a frontline soldier, or what was it?
Why the story? I like the connection.
It's okay. The front, you thought she was a frontline soldier.
Yeah. Of course, she was a frontline soldier, but she wasn't she's not a fighter.
Right.
She was like I don't know how to explain in English in the right way, but she was like a manager.
Mm-hmm.
She accepted guys, the new comes, and she had to follow them during their service.
Got it.
And if they die, she had to respond to the relatives, to the parents, and so on, so on. So it's quite traumatic. And that's, I think, that's why she, why this problem was. She was on the front line during 3 years. It's quite long. That's why.
And whether you're on the front line or working for the larger organization of the army or whatever part of the military that she was working for, you're in contact. And she was the first that I've heard really talk about her experiences in such an intimate way. I come from the theater, and your filming was so intimate and honest and authentic. And her sharing was such a character study and case study of what trauma can do to a body. There's a book that I am currently reading called The Body Keeps Score, and it's about how we hold trauma in our bodies. And I think the biggest takeaway for me was just how many of us have trauma undiagnosed, unrecognized, unaware of trauma, the behaviors that we keep manifesting when we don't look at the trauma,
mm-hmm.
and how brave it was, and how, to me, this movie, and we'll talk about its response in a second, but how this movie is really just an offering, a beautiful symbolic offering of what trauma and war can do to a human. She is a woman, but she's sharing what all soldiers, all people that have gone through trauma, she just had the bravery to really share it.
Yeah, and I want to add one thing. A lot of people ask me about how their female topic was represented in your film, you know? And I said that it's not a this is film not about female warrior. I don't want to accent or make an accent, you know, because I think that why it's important that she's female warrior. It's important because she had a possibility to tell it. Because like a man, they decide to hide it, because it's sometimes we have such thoughts in our society that veterans, they are drunk, they are crazy, and so on. So yeah, sometimes it's true, but it happens because we don't work with trauma. We have to work with it.
You have to work with trauma.
Yeah, that's why it's okay when you have this like a pain inside you and you decided to drink some alcohol. It's like, it's obvious, it's natural. I understand it very well. And a lot of us, when
we want to numb. There's a huge drive to numb our feelings because they're too much. And culturally and societally, we're not allowed to.
Yeah, absolutely. When you have a tough day, you are going to the bar in the evening, and you're trying to make your stress easier. It's okay. That's why it's not a problem. We should talk about this.
Yes, I completely agree. Alina Gorlova is a director, writer, and film editor based in Kiev, Ukraine, leading other young filmmakers of the Eastern European filmmaking community. In addition to her focus as a documentary director, Alina is experienced in making fiction short films as well as social and commercial ads. Her second documentary, No Obvious Signs, won multiple awards, including the MDR Film Award for Outstanding Eastern European Movie at DOC Leipzig 2018. Alina was a 2019 Berlinale Talents recipient and Circle Women DOC Accelerator participant. Her new film, This Rain Will Never Stop, has successfully premiered in IDFA in 2020 and won for Best First Appearance. In detail, the story of This Rain Will Never Stop follows a 20-year-old boy as he tries to secure a sustainable future while navigating the human toil of armed conflict. From the Syrian civil war to strife in the Ukraine, his existence is framed by the seemingly eternal flow of life and death. This Rain Will Never Stop is also part of the East Silver Market catalog. What has been the response globally for your film? And I'm going to ask my second question or add on to that. Do you feel like you are at the forefront of new filmmaking to really explore trauma?
Yeah. Are you asking about responsibility?
Yes, I am, girl. I love that you picked that up. Yeah.
Yes.
I feel it from you. I feel it from you, just looking at you, that you feel you have a responsibility to share.
Yeah, of course. Responsibility, like, first of all, I had, like, a responsibility, like, a Ukrainian citizen, you know, like, it was important to talk because we had a lot of patriotic film about warriors, but at the end, we don't do anything for their mental health.
You got it.
Yeah, it was not patriotic. I said it, actually in Ukraine, it was awarded as a patriotic film. You know, it was really, really funny, but not funny. It was great. And I said, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing that it happens. But I said every time that it's not patriotic. It's not patriotic film, but it is. Actually, because we have to talk about problems. Yeah, of course, we should we could tell glory, but we have a dent to do something to support these people. But I want to tell about another angle of responsibility in this project, because I really felt that we had responsibility with Oksana.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, like it was a big risk to make some harm. Yeah. To do some harmful thing. Yeah.
To That's Oksana why. Or to what do you mean?
Okay. To Oksana, because we are not psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any idea about this. So of course I understand some usual thing as well as every person, but it was a big risk. And it was awful moment when we show the film to Oksana, and actually it was a premiere and she was in the cinema, and I was really nervous. Will she accept it or not? You know,
it makes me think of two things. One, you mentioned your practice or experience in docu theater. Coming from the theater as well, understanding the world of documentary and knowing how healing, really, you know, these processes can be. And I don't have a psychology background either, other than I love people. Her willingness to be vulnerable, to go on that journey in and of itself, is a healing act. So I can only assume or hope that she really felt catharsis, which is usually what happens at the end of a project, any project. You know, Aristotle's Poetics here is what I'm talking about. Did she experience catharsis?
Yeah, absolutely. So like during the first screening, it was very hard for Oksana.
I'm sure.
She was crying and a lot of veterans actually were there, and they have their cycle, their friendship and so on. So they support each other. But anyway, like we are talking about Oksana. She was crying during the second screening. She said that it was much, much more easier. And then we had an international premiere during Doc Leipzig, and I invited Oksana, of course, to visit Leipzig. It was magic moment when I saw she was shopping, you know, she was watching another documentaries, like for example Aquarella by Kosakowski. It seems like the life starts right now. And then she said, when she was watching No Obvious Science in this big, like during the international premiere, she said that she understood that it's another person already.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And you know, I want to say that I think in some way, probably it's a little bit magic words, but anyway, a camera, it collected all a lot of things. And I was thinking that I couldn't hear so much of these memories, you know. A camera could record a lot. Yeah.
Another and set of eyes, another way of being in the space.
It was important for Oksana to talk again to someone.
Absolutely. Yes. And the reality is that we, most of us do. I think that's the other thing I want to mention, is that this is absolutely intercultural. This need to communicate, to reach out, to have support. We can't live as humans alone. We are social animals. We are alone and we are not alone. And from someone, just very honestly, I have struggled with PTSD, and I felt her. And her, you're really poetic. And to me, you are creating a language of empathy in filmmaking. So really, I look forward to meeting you again, hopefully, you know, in person and at a film festival. I have so many more questions. I'm aware of our time, but so let's go back to the global response. What were some of the other responses from your film, No Obvious Signs?
It's really hard to tell, because it was different, you know, like in Germany, it was one thing. In Italy, it was another. Are you asking about audience? Are you asking about some feedback.
I'm asking for audience. Listen, I believe all people deal with trauma, okay? So I don't care really what their role is, but what feedback, what responses from audience members or critical journalists that you admire, what are some takeaways for you from it having a global platform?
Yeah, yeah. I had actually a lot of articles and a lot of feedbacks. Yeah, how people were followed by this story, how they actually felt themselves inside Oksana.
Yes.
So it was, I understood that. So you have a different variant how to do your documentary. You could use like a cult camera. Yeah. So like a wide shot, you could have some distance. Yeah, but in this case, I was very close to Oksana. So I was completely inside her head. It was really, really hard for me because I was editing also this movie. But it helped a lot to create her like, you really said, it's, I like it, like empathy, this way of empathy. But yeah, probably this way of filming creates some possibilities to follow Oksana like mental way, probably.
Absolutely. And this is a spoiler alert. There are scenes on a train that if anyone has struggled with PTSD or anything having to do with your body's response to fear overtaking you for a short amount of time or a long amount of time, you feel her on that journey. And it's very, again, I will use this word, empathetic to watch. Thank you for your vision and your way of seeing. I think it's an extremely important way of being in the world. And more as we are evolving as humans, I know that it is of value and importance. I'm also someone who studies vulnerability, and your work is extremely vulnerable. Do you have a community of other filmmakers that are inspiring you to push and to risk and to be vulnerable while also knowing that you have a team behind you?
Yeah, of course. Every film we just made was made only with the help of my crew, big crew, my production. So it's already 8 years old. And so yeah, actually, every film I'm making inside this team. So, of course, I'm trying to find some new, like, composers and so on, so on. But this, like, our production company, it's very important. So it's my friends, actually.
Yes.
It's not like only production company. It's
your
my family.
Your friends, your crew.
Yeah. And they support me very much. And so that's why a lot of things like could be possible, because when you're dealing with another big production studios, so some topics are not interesting for them. Yeah, it's okay. But if it's important for me to make this movie, like my friends and my production company, they will support me, of course.
True Story is a documentary podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film. You can find news from the world of film on all the common platforms such as iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, as well as on docweb.net. You are a beam of light, Alina. Thank you for your time today. I have one last question, and it's actually a little funny and silly, and again, a bit of a spoiler alert. Are hairless cats popular in the Ukraine?
Okay. Yes, actually, very popular. And also hairless dogs, very popular.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, and actually, my producer dreams about hairless cats.
Wow. Wow. That was just a treat to see Oksana's hairless cat in the film. Again, spoiler alert, listeners, spoiler alert. Thank you so much for your time. I really look forward to meeting you again. There were so many things about your art background I wanted to ask about. Alas, listen in, True Story, and more to come with Alina Gorlova. And thank you for all your work and your relationship with EDF. We're happy to be working with you. Any last thoughts? Anything you'd like to share with our listeners about what's coming up next or where they can see your films?
like this rain will never stop. If you are planning to visit Doc Aviv, they already published their program, so you could watch. And please, if you want to see not obvious signs, actually, you could visit Da Films VOD platform.
Excellent.
So it's absolutely available, and you could watch it when you want.
Everyone, support Alina Gorlova. Thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This was Alina Gorlova. Thank you for listening to the True Story Podcast, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. We will be back with you soon.